Fan.
You can see the yardage line to get to is at the 50. That would match his career long as 68 yard attempt. Ball's intercepted. The game is over as Cole Bishop gets it off the rebound. Tre'Davious White tipped it, and the Bills come down to Jacksonville and break a lot of hearts.
They back out of it. Hurts needs 11. Over the middle, tip. Incomplete. San Francisco takes over, looking to take away the upset. And it's Aaron Kendricks, who's been here a month, who makes the biggest play of the night.
The play fake. Herbert drops back to pass. Herbert is hit. Herbert is sacked. It's the sixth sack of the day. Milton Williams wraps him up and slams him down at the 43-yard line. And that is going to do it.
How about a plethora of NFL football action for you on a Sunday? All three games riveting. I'm not going to oversell it. New England game was kind of boring. But Buffalo and Jacksonville for sure. Defending Super Bowl champions, one and done at home against San Francisco, as those two teams have developed quite the little playoff rivalry here the last few years. And then Saturday night, two really exciting games too, which we'll get into. But first and foremost, yes, I'm going to make it all about me. Oh, Bobster was 5-0 with his picks this weekend.
Starting early, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to pop off after three straight last place finishes during the regular season. I think I've sucked in the playoffs as well. Coming out strong. Carolina and the Rams, we'll get into that. Entertaining game. L.A. did not cover the 10.5, by the way. It looked like they might have got cundiffed right out of the gate. And then Chicago comes from behind to stun Green Bay. Reports are today, however, that LaFleur, if anything, might get a contract extension. Not getting fired, which was the assumption there. Justin Herbert yesterday, last night, falls to 0-3 in the playoffs. Sirianni and A.J. Brown are getting into it on the sidelines. And then Josh Allen, who was getting beaten up all day long by Jacksonville, found a way to get things done. So the Jags, great regular season, disappointing loss because they were the higher seed. They were underdogs, but still at home. And this big offseason for Josh Allen, playoffs anyway. No Lamar, no Mahomes, no Burrow, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. He's supposed to be the guy. Well, he took a very big step in that positive direction coming from behind yesterday against Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picking a game of the weekend, it'd be hard to argue against the Bears' comeback just because division rivals, everything that was attached to that, the LaFleur uncertainty and all the fallout that could come from that. But I'd put the Bills and Jags up there on the entertainment factor, the back and forth, Josh Allen getting it done late, and then conversely, Trevor Lawrence, after being maybe the best quarterback in the league for the last 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season, I mean, he was on fire.
Yep.
Their entire offense, their entire team was on fire, and most of the day they looked the part, but in the biggest moment, we got to talk about it all the time. What's the biggest difference when you're picking some of these playoff games? It always comes back to quarterback. And I thought that was case in point there yesterday. Lawrence showed that playoff inexperience.
Josh Allen, 2 touchdowns rushing, threw for 1 as well. The 10-yard tush push, I thought was a fascinating play because I figured the whistle would have blown like 4 times.
I think they wanted to let him in.
Before he got into the end zone, but still, that was an awesome thing to watch. And then for Philadelphia, a season in which their offense just really never seemed to be on the same page. And Barkley wasn't terrible yesterday, rushed for over 100 yards, but was not the Saquon Barkley of 2024, where he rushed for 2,000 and was a major reason they won the Super Bowl. We talked about A.J. Brown. Things just did not seem right for the Eagles this year. And maybe if you're an Eagles fan, which I'm not, for the record, it's just like we were with the Ravens last week. Yeah, just get it over with. I mean, this is put us out of our misery and start planning on whatever the moves are going to be this offseason to get back to where we've been, which is the championship heights.
I don't know if it was that bad of a feeling. I mean, I think if I was an Eagles fan, I would have thought that they had a legit shot. I mean, not just because you're one of the teams in the dance, but their defense was very much legit.
Yep.
And they did their part. Forced 2 big interceptions, they had nothing to show for it. So, I mean, that just can't happen. And you're right about the Eagles offense all year long, disjointed. And what a fitting end with A.J. Brown, right? I mean, could you paint up any more of a perfect conclusion and then planting seeds for what could happen for them in the offseason than him going crazy, Sirianni having to get in his face, and then it still didn't end there. I mean, he had some big drops in the second half. I mean, he did not play well, certainly didn't justify popping off with his mouth.
Well, the whole team had a problem with dropping a football, which proved to be to their detriment when it was all said and done. So San Francisco, the little team that keeps on charging, they lose Warner, they lose Bosa, and then last night on offense, they lose George Kittle to a blown Achilles, which means they probably won't have him for the vast majority of 2026. But yet, Nolan McGraw, here they are, two wins away from getting back to the Super Bowl.
Fitting again. Yeah. Like, it was a fitting end for Philly, but I would say that was fitting victory for San Francisco to find their season. I mean, they have just consistently overcome injury after injury, which you couldn't always say in the past. I feel like the Niners, over a five-year span, actually had some of the worst injury fortunes, just off the top of my head. I mean, the Ravens have dealt with theirs as well. We have a bias for that, but just from the outside looking in, the Niners have been decimated by injuries year over year, but finally this year, they're actually not letting it get in their way. I just kind of wonder if the Kittle one may be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
I mean, that's going to be a tough one to overcome. And I know McCaffrey was saying after the game, like, his spirit lives within us, or paraphrasing a little bit. What I found fascinating, though, because I was thinking about you, Nolan.
Oh.
When D-Rob had the big day for San Francisco, of course, for those new to the program, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Alex Scampone. When DeMarcus Robinson played for the Ravens, you were not a big fan of his. And I didn't really understand the vitriol, because he was just kind of a guy. You know what I mean? Well, I didn't think he cost them things. Anything you got from him was a bonus, and you were running hot on this dude.
Well, I think my biggest point of frustration is that he would hold the ball with one hand in the open field.
Oh, okay.
And he had, what was his last season here? It was 2022. There was multiple instances. I think if he even had a fumble coughing up the ball like that late in the game, did it in the playoffs, and it didn't cost him. But it just drove me crazy. He would continuously do that, even after having the ball knocked out. He never learned his lesson.
It came up big yesterday, however, for San Francisco. Scores a touchdown, over 100 yards receiving. So the 49ers advance, Buffalo advances, and then if you missed it late last night, New England just workmanlike, devastating. An offensive line with the Chargers that has been banged up due to injuries finally got it. It's come up. And for Justin Herbert, who's had his moments of brilliance too during the regular season. They won 11 games this year, but 0-3 in the playoffs. And that's always a narrative around these parts for people that want to crap all over Lamar Jackson, his losing record in the postseason, which is a fact, by the way. But Justin Herbert has not played well. Last year, when he threw four picks against Houston, and then yesterday, running for his life. I mean, he was their leading rusher, which is all very touching, but he's supposed to be making plays with the arm, and that was not happening last evening.
It's not just the 0-3 record. It's the performances there. And then what? I guess the third loss was that crazy blown lead to the Jags.
Oh, even maybe the worst of them all. They were up by like 20 points.
They've all been unique, but uniquely disappointing for different reasons. You know, they've never really gone out there, oh, we just got beat straight up. Or Justin Herbert goes out there, plays a great game, or at least a solid enough, but you say, you got outdueled by a better quarterback on the other side. No, he hasn't shown up. And now, I mean, I think there's chatter around him, obviously. Maybe chatter around Greg Roman and that offense. Wasn't exactly a powerhouse unit all year long. Year two of Greg Roman over there, so we'll see what the future holds.
So the playoffs have moved into the next round, except for one game, which is coming up tonight. Houston at Pittsburgh. And we can get into the why me's, and should have been, would have, could have, should have been. Could have been the Ravens playing at home tonight, which means we would have been down at the Horseshoe Casino, Brew Brothers, doing Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show starting at 5 o'clock. But we're not. Instead, we're going to be listening to the game here on The Fan, as Houston will take on Pittsburgh. But the Texans, 3-point favorites in this ball game. So Steelers do win the division. You commend them for achieving what they needed to achieve. For Houston, however, third straight year they've made it. They were 0-3 to start the season, so they should be commended for that. And C.J. Stroud, he at least wins one game. So it's not like he's not Justin Herbert. He's not 0-3. He's been in the playoff 2 years. This is year three. And his first two seasons, he's found a way to get a W and done it on the road as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, they're riding that 9-game win streak. You know, you use the term, like, who's the hottest team in the league? We mentioned the Jags are red hot going into the postseason. The Texans are right there with them. Plus, they boast maybe the best defense in the league. In fact, you probably take the maybe away. I think they are the best defense in the league.
Right.
So they've routinely got it done with their defense all year long. Stroud's really come along, like you said, because early on this season, I thought they were dead in the water. And that we were going to start having these narratives about C.J. Stroud, like what happened to the rookie? You know, you could understand a regression, the sophomore slump, as they say, wouldn't be the first quarterback to experience that. Certainly won't be the last. But the way the early stages of this season looked, it was like, oh my God, was it fool's gold with him as a rookie? But he turned it around, starting to make everything work. I like him over the Steelers. It's not just a bias here thing. I mean, obviously I'm rooting against the Steelers, but I do genuinely think the Texans are the much better team.
And I stand corrected. His two wins were at home. C.J. Stroud in the postseason against Cleveland. And then last year against the Chargers. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Maryland, they lose again to UCLA Saturday night. They can't shoot the ball. They can't take care of the ball. They did out-rebound UCLA, if you're looking for a positive, but they're not even getting to the foul line anymore. So the Terps right now own 5 in the Big Ten, and they got USC tomorrow night at 10:30 Eastern tip-off. So have fun with all of that good stuff. But Buzz Williams and the boys off to a brutal start, to say the least, here in conference play. No Pharrell Payne yet again in that one. College football playoff, the championship game is set. We were talking about Miami beating Ole Miss on Friday, Nolan, but Indiana puppy-pantsed Oregon on Friday night. And Mendoza, 5 touchdowns. So it's the Hurricanes at home against the Hoosiers. Indiana's never played for a national championship in college football, and it's been a minute for Miami, by the way, when they used to have monster teams.
Right. And Miami, look, the defense is great, so you give them a shot. The fact that it's a home game for them, that gives even bigger boosts. But just watching Indiana, it's like nobody can stop this team. And really, we should have probably known that once they took down Ohio State in the conference championship, because even that, all right, Indiana was great all year. But then to have that signature win over Ohio State, the emphatic closure to take the I feel like that was more than just a symbolic win. I feel like that was really them saying, all right, we're for real. Like, we know they're for real, but you know what I mean? Like, we're elite for real. We deserve to be the top team in the conference. We're going to run through the CFP. So, again, if Miami's defense wants to put up a good fight, I could see it. But after watching how they dismantled Oregon, like, I mean, I could even justify maybe picking a blowout here.
That's next Monday night. Gaming in here on 105.7 The Fan for Miami. Hey, house money, not anymore. Now you're 60 minutes away from winning a championship, perhaps. So it's no longer, we shouldn't have been here. We've earned a couple of games. Hey, look at us. Now they're in it to win it, if you will. And for Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, he's a guy that most people didn't know 3 years ago. Now he's talked about as one of the great coaches in American football. We'll come back. Speaking of that, John Harbaugh. Is he calling the shot? Is he already in a position where he decides he only wants to interview for 3 or 4 spots? To me, it sounds like Cleveland don't bother calling. Are we going with that one? Or,
I mean, I don't know. I
don't
know.
Do you understand where he's leaning towards here?
The Giants, a safe assumption, I would bet.
I think Atlanta would be an interesting scenario. Miami, maybe, but...
I'd rather go to Cleveland than go to Miami, to be honest.
We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. We're less than a month away, by the way, from pitchers and catchers as well, as the Orioles look to redeem themselves after a brutal 2025 playoffs. Still alive, Pittsburgh and Houston tonight. We're talking about that as well here on The Fan. Brock Abaco is writing this morning, massinsports.com. Birds are still in on Gallen, Framber, who you want, and Ranger Suarez, which is good news. Now, whether or not this all comes to fruition remains to be seen. And apparently the Mets are more inclined to go the trade route as opposed to getting to a bidding war, which is funny because then their owner, the most wealthy dude there is owning baseball teams here.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables right now. I mean, looking at what the Yankees got going on with Bellinger. Getting a kick out of that. Puts a smile on my face until it doesn't. Bregman out. Out of the AL East, that's fantastic. You mentioned Zach Gallen there. It's important to remember his name because I feel like he's almost a forgotten man right now. Everyone's waiting on Framber and Suarez, and rightfully so. Those guys are still the top two names. But entering the offseason, I thought Zach Gallen was the more attainable free agent for the Orioles to go after. But then once the Alonso thing became reality and they've been so heavily linked to the Frambers and the Suarezes, I changed my perspective a little bit. But I would have thought from the jump that Gallen would have been right in their wheelhouse. And I still do. If that's ultimately who they get, I think it's a good addition too.
Need a southpaw? Are we going down this time-honored conversation? Because
nice.
Yeah. We got Bradish, righty. Applin, righty. Shane Baz, righty. Mm-hmm. Manbon's a righty. Wells is a righty. Yeah, it's kind of scarce on the southpaws unless we're still putting Cade Povich in the conversation as a possible starting pitcher.
Rogers?
Rogers. I keep forgetting him. Yeah.
I had to look it up there. But still, yeah, I mean, helps balance out your rotation for sure. You know, I mean, is it the end-all be-all? No, but we were having it as a talking point entering last spring. I remember that, to the point where we were giving Povich a little extra bonus points as a reason to put him in the rotation. But to be fair, he kind of earned his spot anyway.
410-583-1057 is the number. So we got pitchers and catchers in less than a month, which means we'll be at Pickles in less than a little more than 2 months. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it's only a matter of time, Nolan, before the weather forecast said there's a 60% chance of rain. And are we going to be inside or are we going outside? Whatever it's going to be, but we're looking forward to it. As long as the Orioles win, I don't care. I'll stand in a monsoon if they're going to be competing for a World Series championship. As we said, Maryland Hoops, they lose again Saturday night at UCLA in the NFL playoffs. Marching on now into final wildcard game tonight, Houston at Pittsburgh. Any rooting interest in that one? And since the Ravens are out of it, other than a financial stake, I mean, it is football and it is sports and it's always fun to be entertained. And I thought for the most part, outside of last night's game, the other four were extremely entertaining.
I was
for real.
Telling some friends yesterday, I said, as soon as Carolina actually gave the Rams that fight on Saturday, I was like, I think we're in business here. I have no concerns about the rest of the weekend. Like you mentioned, last night a little underwhelming, but I think even tonight could be entertaining enough.
Now, Matt LaFleur lost on Saturday, but it looks like he's going to stay in Green Bay. If anything, might get a contract extension. At least that's the reports this morning. And when we come back from our next break, we'll get into the candidates that have interviewed for the Ravens job so far. And we were asking last week, Nolan, would you prefer an offensive or a defensive guy, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're running the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's another position that needs to be coached, I think they're going to talk to that guy, too.
Yeah, and two offensive guys that would fit that mold that they'll interview this week, McDaniel and Kingsbury. Now, problem is, I don't know if either one of those really strikes me as a good slam dunk head coaching hire.
I'm not feeling either one of them.
Still leaning more towards the Clint Kubiaks of the world, someone who hasn't had their first opportunity yet. Are McDaniel and Kingsbury capable of being good head coaches? I'm not going to argue against it in the long term. But especially for McDaniel, I just don't see a way for him to go right back to another head coaching job. You know, there just wasn't enough there in his tenure in Miami for me to be comfortable in that. I think he has to at least spend 1 or 2 years back in the OC ranks before he can even think about getting another head coaching gig. But again, we know this search is pretty expansive, at least for the Ravens so far. They've interviewed 7, or will at the end of today, they'll have 7. And they're looking at upwards of 15 or 16 in total. So this is going to be a long process.
But to your point about McDaniel, he was going in the opposite direction his last 3 years with the Dolphins. Stefanski sprinkled in a couple of Coaches of the Year awards with last place finishes. But he's never really had a stout quarterback situation. And he had 5 guys going in the training camp. One of them was Tyler Huntley. You know what I mean? So who wound up becoming, you know, a guy that beat Green Bay and beat Green Bay and Chicago for the Ravens, helping them get almost to the postseason. So if I had to choose between those two guys, I would lean Stefanski over McDaniel. But, Old Biscuit hasn't called me and asked me what my opinion is in regards to his head coaching search.
Stefanski hire would be more boring. Right? There's especially compared to McDaniel, just personality for personality.
Oh, but no doubt.
showing the ability to do more with less. Nobody can say that they've done a better job than Stefanski in that realm.
But there is a curiosity factor. Gerry Coleman and Mike McDaniel at a press conference. The unintentional comedy would probably be off the charts if you dig where I'm coming from. 410-583-1057 is the number. Do you have a preference what Steve Bisciotti should do with his head coaching hire? First time since in 18 years they've had to make this decision. And for Eric DaCosta, this will be the first time. As the general manager, he's going to have to do it. By the way, both will meet with the media tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So Wednesday should be rather fun to get into. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about this with Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun later in the show.
Right, and I'm starting to wonder just how long this thing's going to be tomorrow, because you could justify even keeping them separate. Like, if it was just Bisciotti talking, that's an easy hour right there. If it was just DaCosta talking, same thing. So I'm wondering, are we almost at a detriment here, having them together, is that because Bisciotti's going to be the one that everyone wants to talk to, he just haven't had the opportunity in years, and especially in a more open setting, you probably got to go back to 2017, 2018, which is just crazy to think about. But in turn, does that almost let DaCosta off the hook a little bit? Like, he'll have to answer questions. There'll be the big pertinent things.
Yeah, because we haven't heard from him in a while either.
A lot of maybe more of the nitty-gritty won't really get touched on with him. And even some of the questions going his way will be related to the head coaching search, when I'd be more interested to hear him talk about, you know, shortcomings with the roster this year, the pass rush, the O-line, that sort of thing, the Cooper Rush deal. You know, there's so much that I'd get into him that doesn't even have to do with the coaching.
And the eventual renegotiation of Lamar Jackson's contract, which might be, outside of hiring a head coach, the biggest thing they're going to need to do here in the offseason. If you're on the phones, hang tight. Phones are lighting up. Alex Gamponi, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll come back, take your phone calls, talk about those NFL playoffs. Are you pumped for spring training? Less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. And the college football national championship game is set. Two teams I would have never said playing for the college championship. Indiana, Miami. It would be like saying Miami and Indiana playing for the basketball championship. Like, get out of here. Houston 3.5, or 3-point favorites, rather, over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game you can hear on 105.7. The Fan. There will not be a repeat Super Bowl champion as Philadelphia was eliminated last night. Well, late in the afternoon and early evening at home. So another offseason of Nick Sirianni facing the music. What's going on with A.J. Brown? Is that a relationship that can still coexist? And are there questions about Jalen Hurts' ability, even though he's been to two Super Bowls and has won one, to really take them back to a championship level when he's not and really fill the stat sheet in a traditional 35, 40 TD, 4,000 yard way? But the guy wins games for the most part, right?
No, and I mean, how can you question him in the playoffs based on one game here when they just reached the pinnacle last year? I mean,
right.
How crazy is that? I'm not saying you're starting a narrative here, because I've seen it online, and it's just crazy to me, though. I'm not even a big Jalen Hurts guy. You know, I think he's above average, but I don't think he's elite. I don't think he's truly that great. But how crazy is it now that in sports fandom that a team wins the Super Bowl, and he's made two Super Bowls, played well in both of them. You know, things didn't work out the first time against the Chiefs, but he still played well individually. That we're still sitting here like, is he really the guy? Like, yeah, I think he's the guy. He might not be elite, but he's made two Super Bowls. He's won one. I think that's fine. I think at a certain point you can stop with the, is this guy real? Is this guy not real debate? I get it with the Lamar stuff. I get it with Justin Herbert when guys come up short in the playoffs, but this guy has not come up short in the playoffs. I mean, we're kind of nitpicking at that point.
Well, I just go back to when we were at the convention center before Army-Navy, down at M&T, and one of our engineers was from Philadelphia. If not, I think both of them were.
Right.
And they were talking about Jalen Hurts like he was the worst quarterback that's ever suited up in a National Football League game. I mean, advantage Baltimore when it comes to Lamar versus Jalen Hurts, certainly regular season achievement and putting up the fancy numbers. But you guys might have problems. I don't think your quarterback's one of them right now.
No, but I mean, it's fair to question regular season results, because they never really found rhythm at all. And when you look at the talent that's around him, that does make you scratch your head. Now, their O-line while some people on paper would say, oh, well, it's the same O-line. The O-line was as good as it was the last couple of years. Really wasn't. O-line was very shaky for them all year. That kind of the Ravens, the names were the same, but the results were anything but the same for them this year.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. It is a Monday. You know, Terps lose Saturday. All right. They're on 5 in the league. They got USC tomorrow night. Have fun staying up watching that thing unfold. We're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. Spring training, Sarasota. Orioles have arguably had the best offseason of all the major league teams. Now, what does this mean once they start the games in late March against the Twins? We'll find out in real time. Ravens are looking for a head coach for the first time in 18 years. The college football championship game is set. Indiana and Miami and the NFL playoffs continue on as we creep closer to Super Bowl 60 this year? Is that where we're going here? Santa Clara?
I still remember the first one, Bob.
Oh, you do?
I remember where I was.
Oh, yes, you were. Let's see. I don't even think your dad was alive. Super Bowl I, 1967?
I don't know.
There you go.
He's the same age as you. So if you were alive, so,
then he was like me drooling all over his Superman pajamas there. All right, let's get out to the phones. Enough of that. I still drool over my Superman pajamas, to be totally honest with you. Let's go to Eddie in Kansas City. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
How you doing, Nolan?
What's up, man?
A comment, and then I've got a question. Then I'm going to get off and gawk the rest of the day. Yeah, it's pretty sad when you're older than the Super Bowl, and that's me. So, you know, I mean, it was some good football all weekend, even some of the college games. You know, Indiana, that was a big blowout. I was kind of rooting for San Diego. I mean, I like them. I don't want New England to be the new Chiefs again. I'm tired of all hearing all that. But it was a very hard game to watch. And every time the camera would zoom in on Herbert, he kind of reminded me of Gerback when they kept showing his face. All he had to do was shed a few tears. I mean, the guy looked like he was in agony the whole game. And I mean, you know, and then you had to listen to Collinsworth. I mean, jeez. And then there was Harbaugh on the sideline looking just like his brother, being all bewildered. I mean, just looking around like, you know, what can I do to change this? You know, nothing. He did nothing. You know, go down and tell you, call up the Roman and say, hey, come on, you know, a little screen here or something. So they didn't do nothing. So that was the hardest game to watch all weekend. And my question is, and I'll get off and keep gawking, and is that press conference tomorrow at 2 o'clock, are you guys covering that live, or is that going to be covered anywhere? Because I sure would like to hear that and not just snippets. So that's my call, and you guys have a good day.
All right, Eddie, and keep on gawking, if you don't mind. I ought to be on BaltimoreRavens.com, isn't that usually?
It's all over YouTube, Facebook page probably as well.
Now, we won't cover it per se because we're not the flagship station, so we're not going to have it.
We're not running it live
real time, but we will have plenty of snippets for you on Wednesday. But Ed, if you want to watch it, it'll be on Baltimore. Yeah, you'll find it
right in the afternoon show. They won't have it in full, but they'll have stuff as soon as it comes out. Yeah,
we have time for a call.
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, how you feeling?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I'm good. Day two, man. Eagles lost, so that's a good thing. Hopefully the Steelers be home tonight, you know, tomorrow morning. And speaking of the Steelers, right, let me ask y'all a question. So more than likely, I believe Tomlin's going to be fired tomorrow morning, right, after they lose.
You think?
So you don't think so?
I
think they keep him around?
Yeah, who was our Steeler guy when we had last Tuesday?
He said the same thing.
The inclination appears to be that he will stick around for another year.
Well, in the case he is fired, though, won't the Ravens have to bring him in for interview then, right? You know, since he is it's that Rooney Rule, right?
If I was a Steeler fan, I wouldn't want Harbaugh interviewing for the job, and as a Ravens fan, I don't want Mike Tomlin interviewing for the job.
Man,
I'm sick of both of them.
But I think Tom would be good with his organization, though. I want somebody that's going to be around here for a long time. I don't want, you know, I know we might not get another coach around here, you know, that's going to stick around for 18 years, but at least give us 10 years. I don't want a coach that's going to be, you know, every 2 or 3 years, you know, we firing the head coach, you know. So Like with these other guys, I don't see them being around long. If they hire like a what's the Browns guys,
Stefanski, Kevin. Yeah,
I don't think he'll be around long. Mike McDaniels, I don't think he'll be around long.
Yeah, pass him, man.
You know, yeah. Even I heard Mike McCarthy's interviewing for someone somewhere too. Him and Jason Garrett. You know, so I'm glad the Ravens ain't bringing none of them in for interviews though. But like I said, I don't know which one we should get, a defensive guy, offensive guy. You know, as long as he's, you know, got, you know how to deal with men and not what this stuff with Harbaugh had going on. With,
iron sharpens iron and mighty men and all that stuff?
Nah. I talked about this in the morning show too, right? Don't you think Harbaugh at least could have given opportunity like to be a part of the organization, you know, somewhere else like the front office or something like that, just to fire the guy over a phone call, you know, that spent 18 years with your organization. You know, that's you know, I thought Pashadi had more class than that. You know, that's kind of like Jerry Jones's or one of these other type of owners.
Yeah.
You know, they do things like that.
How
though,
dare you inject the Cowboys into the conversation, Rashawn, over there. Did you have a problem with Harb's allegedly getting fired via phone call?
This thing just will not end. I mean, the legs of this story and the fallout from him getting fired, it's been from the difference in reporting between Rappaport and Schefter over the reaction to him getting fired.
Media wars.
To this, and then you could take this and link it back to what Schefter was saying, and if this new stuff is true where he found out via phone, then how the hell was he in the building to, you know, hug and cry with the players? I don't know, man. There's something is not true here. I don't know where the truth is, but I know for a fact that whatever it is, somebody's looking a little foolish.
Well, the only fact that we know is that he's the ex-coach of the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to move on to the next phase of it. By the way, and I saw reports, and we'll take a break and come back, get your calls, where John wanted more authority in regards to possibly even getting like some front office level GM/coach. Atlanta just hired Matt Ryan as their vice president of football ops. So that is not going to be an option for him with the Falcons. But as we said, outside of maybe Penix and Kirk Cousins being a little debatable at quarterback, there are some workable pieces. And they were one of the hottest teams in football in December. Atlanta.
The only one where he would be throwing his weight around and trying to get a front office change would be the Giants, because they brought back
Joe Shane
for some odd reason. But even then, if I'm him, I'm thinking, as much as I may like the young talent on that roster and maybe like the situation overall, do I really want to put myself in that situation, draw even more attention to myself, more heat on me, that now I'm coming in saying that, hey, you got to hire this guy or you got to fire this guy and then hire the GM that I want, adding even more pressure and expectations to a pretty rabid media market as it exists. I don't know if I'd want to invite that kind of chaos.
We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Alex Scamponi, other side of the glass, and Vinny and Haney, 11 o'clock. More of your phone calls, 11:15. It's the whip around. Today's January the 12th. We have one of the greatest days in Baltimore NFL football that took place on this date, and maybe the worst of them all took place as well. Ravens season ended over a week ago. The team that knocked them out, Pittsburgh's playing tonight against the Houston Texans. It's Houston trying to get to the divisional round for the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. Their season came to an end. Carolina, hey, thumbs up. Effort was great. Wound up losing a heartbreaker. You know, I've always said, Nolan, just get blown out instead of losing a heartbreaking game. I mean, just go out and lose by the 40 that everybody thought you were going to lose instead of giving you hope that you could possibly pull it out. Packers gacked away a big double-digit lead late against the Chicago Bears. So Mike Harmon's happy somewhere. Heartbreaker for Philly, as we said, and for Jacksonville, and for the Chargers.
Was anybody
news fest?
Nobody could have been happier than Ben Johnson, though. That handshake exchange with Matt LaFleur. Ooh,
where does that angst stem from? Because Johnson was in Detroit, with the Lions. And obviously they play the Pack twice every year. Matt LaFleur peed on somebody's cornflakes because that dude does not. And then he like bleeped the Packers after the game.
Yeah, he went Billick with the Titans
yes,
thing.
He did.
The same thing. Yeah, I don't know where that, beyond just division rival, I don't know where that came from. But the drive-by handshake, that was diabolical.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Keith in Baltimore. Keith, thanks for holding your own with Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, and Alex Scamponi.
How you doing, fellas? How y'all doing today?
What's up?
I had a quick comment involving a roster. Like I said, I have 16 people that's off of free agency. Like, I'm not sure, you know, if we had enough money to accommodate everybody, but I wanted to see your opinion on that matter.
Well, who would you like to stick around?
I count like 9 people. Like I said, I'm not sure if they have enough money to pay everybody. So that's my only concern in going into trying to find a new head coach. And I'm not sure if Tom Muck is staying around. But just to, you know, try to keep the same roster going together. But it's kind of, I think it's kind of tough for us.
Yep. Hey, Keith, thanks for the call. Well, the big key will be renegotiating Lamar's contract. Because
right.
He has a $74.5 million cap hit for the next 2 years. So that needs to be alleviated to some level. But I don't know if I want to run it back with the entire team. And that's apparently what John Harbaugh wanted to do with his coaching staff anyway. And here we are 6 days later, and he's no longer the head coach of the team. I mean, they need to figure out something with pass rush. They need to add some depth maybe at cornerback. If not, bring in a playmaking level cornerback. O-line needs to be upgraded. The guard position was bad this season. Daniel Falele went from being a Pro Bowl alternate to a guy that graded poorly. I don't know how seriously, Nolan, you take the Pro Football Focus rankings, but he was not overall one of their more highly regarded performers at that spot.
It's a tool, but as someone who will watch every Ravens game, you know, I don't need the additional metrics or any grades there to tell me that it wasn't a good product this year. I mean, maybe I'll lean more on that stuff for the teams that I don't get to see every week. But yeah, I mean, he's one of that long list of free agents, and I think that's an obvious he's gone. More so curious what his market looks like in general, because sometimes these O-line contracts, guys get overpaid when you're thinking, that guy's not that good. Why are they giving him all that money? But O-line, pretty shallow position all across the NFL, which is why a lot of these names where you're like, oh, that guy stinks. He keeps getting a job because there just simply isn't a bunch of guys knocking down the door behind him that are saying they're better.
And we've had guys leave here, Ben Powers, Bredesen, who have gone to start in other spots. Bradley Bozeman is still a productive member of offensive lines. But then you have your Ben Clevelands. Voorhees was a steal, if you recall, because he got hurt coming out of USC. He would have been he might have been a third round draft pick if it wasn't for the injury, and the Ravens got him late. And, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, we got hurt again last year, and this year when he's played, which was the vast majority of the time, underwhelming,
right,
to say the least.
And speaking of O-line, I mean, your biggest free agent is Tyler Linderbaum. Right now. Yeah. I mean, sure, you could put Isaiah Likely in that conversation, but I think after the Andrews thing, that sealed Likely's fate at that point. Draymond Jones, maybe you feel great about him. You'd like to bring him back. I don't think that's a clear and obvious one to me.
Yeah.
Alohi Gilman, same type of thing. I guess the greater point with Gilman is that both him and Ardarius Washington are free agents, so you can't let both go. I got to keep at least one of them. And I'd lean towards Ardarius right now.
Yeah, because Gilman had some problems with the tackling aspect since the Ravens got him from the Chargers. And, you know, we'll talk about it more when we get Howard Balzer on here at the bottom of the hour. Longtime NFL writer. Oh, he had 3 sacks yesterday. I mean, the guy had zero sacks for the Ravens and then goes out and he's Khalil Mack for L.A. in an appropriate time for him because he's a free agent after the year? Touching reunion? No.
From a price standpoint and fit, no, I don't think so.
Come back, take your phone call. SportsNet 583-1057 is the number. Most fascinating part of the wild card weekend has been what for you? Houston taking on the Steelers. Who's rooting for Pittsburgh here? Do they have a chance to defend their home turf, even though they are 3-point underdogs in this game? We're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. When you're breaking out the black and orange, for those watching, you see I'm wearing my Oriole hat today, so I'm ready to rock and roll, Maryland Hoops. Well, it looks like it's going to be a long year for the old Buster. No Buzz today because they're out on the West Coast, so time difference. We'll talk to him next Monday, Maryland and USC tomorrow night at 10:30. College football championship game is set. Miami, a lot of people said they didn't even belong. Here they are at home, 60 minutes away for possibly winning against Indiana. Anything else you want to get into, we're here for you here on The Fan.